If you like what you see, please like and share the video, and subscribe to the channel, turning on all notifications. If you would like to support this channel in any way, please do so through Buy Me a Coffee. The link is in the description. Those who have bought coffees recently are Justin Simone, who said, "Praying for your daughter, thank you for defending the faith." Thank you very much. And by the way, my daughter is out of the hospital and doing well. Thanks to everyone for your prayers. You can also like and follow us on Facebook. The link for that is also in the description. There is a tendency in conservative hermeneutic of continuity Catholic circles to declare that the problems in the Catholic Church are not the fault of the Second Vatican Council itself, but rather its implementation. They'll say that, quote, the Council didn't call for this or call for that, often accusing those who are critical of the Council of doing so without actually having read the Council documents. And while admittedly I haven't read all of the documents, I have read most of them. And yes, most of what is in the Second Vatican Council documents is okay, reiterating settled church doctrine, but some of it is very problematic. And what these people seem to forget is that the council documents are vague and open to a variety of interpretations, even contradicting itself at times. One of the favorite claims of the conservatives is that the council actually calls for the Mass to retain Latin. They will quote Sacrosanctum Concilium, the Vatican II document on the liturgy, where it says, particular law remaining in force, the use of the Latin language is to be preserved in the Latin rites. This sounds great, right? Not so fast. Let's keep reading. But since the use of the mother tongue, whether in the Mass, the administration of the sacraments, or other parts of the liturgy, frequently may be of great advantage to the people, the limits of its employment may be extended. This will apply in the first place to the readings and directives and to some of the prayers and chants, according to the regulations on this matter to be laid down separately in subsequent chapters. These norms being observed, it is for the competent territorial ecclesiastical authority mentioned in Article 22.2 to decide whether and to what extent the vernacular language is to be used. Their decrees are to be approved by the Apostolic See. And whenever it seems to be called for, this authority is to consult with bishops of neighboring regions which have the same language. So as you can see, on one hand it says the liturgy should retain the use of Latin, but then it turns around and opens the door for the use of the vernacular, the extent of which to be determined at a later time by the competent authorities. And of course, we all know what happened. The use of Latin is all but extinct in the Novus Ordo. In fact, many seminaries don't even teach it. But to say that the Second Vatican Council is not at fault is just not being intellectually honest. And of course, even more weirdness in the liturgy is on the horizon. The Vatican recently approved a Mayan rite of the Mass to be used in areas of Mexico, which reportedly incorporates indigenous and pagan elements. Traditional Catholic groups are outraged, and the Pope and Council explainers have gone into overdrive with indignation at said outrage. And of course, the long-anticipated Amazonian rite of Mass is set to begin its 3-year experimental phase, which will be declared a success in the end and be given full approval. Now, I'm not here to go through the ins and outs of the Mayan or Amazonian rites. Plenty have already done this. What I'm going to do is show that while some of those outraged will claim it is an abuse and, quote, the Second Vatican Council never called for this, that is not true. Sacrosanctum Concilium absolutely calls for this, and not by some stretch interpretation of the document. I would say the document explicitly calls for it. Sacrosanctum Concilium, Section D, Norms for Adopting the Liturgy to the Culture and Traditions of the People. Point 37. Even in the liturgy, the Church has no wish to impose a rigid uniformity in matters which do not implicate the faith or the good of the whole community. Rather, does she respect and foster the genius and talents of the various races and peoples. Anything of these peoples' way of life which is not indissolubly bound up with superstition and error, she studies with sympathy and, if possible, preserves intact. Sometimes, in fact, she admits such things into the liturgy itself, so long as they harmonize with its true and authentic spirit. Provisions shall also be made when revising the liturgical books for legitimate variations and adaptations to different groups, regions, and peoples, especially in mission lands, provided that the substantial unity of the Roman rite is preserved. And this should be borne in mind when drawing up the rites and devising rubrics. Within the limits set by the typical editions of the liturgical books, it shall be for the competent territorial ecclesiastical authority mentioned in Article 22.2 to specify adaptations, especially in the case of the administration of the sacraments, the sacramentals, processions, liturgical language, sacred music, and the arts, but according to the fundamental norms laid down in this constitution. In some places and circumstances, however, an even more radical adaptation of the liturgy is needed, and this entails greater difficulty where, 1, the competent territorial ecclesiastical authority mentioned in Article 22.2 must in this matter carefully and prudently consider which elements of the traditions and culture of individuals might appropriately be admitted into divine worship. Adaptations which are judged to be useful or necessary should then be submitted to the Apostolic See, by whose consent they may be introduced. To ensure that adaptations may be made with all the circumspection which they demand, the Apostolic See will grant power to this same territorial ecclesiastical authority to permit and to direct, as the case requires, the necessary preliminary experiments over a determined period of time among certain groups suited for the purpose. Because liturgical laws often involve special difficulties with respect to adaptation, particularly in mission lands, men who are experts in these matters must be employed to formulate them. So as you can see, the idea that culturally specific aspects would be incorporated into the liturgy for certain regions, even radical integrations, has been the plan all along. When they said that the Synod of Synodality would be the final implementation of the Second Vatican Council, they were right. They weren't using the council as an excuse to synchronize pagan worship into the Roman liturgy. The council itself calls for this. Now, you might say that the document makes it clear that only those things that are appropriate can be incorporated into the liturgy. It says, for instance, anything in these people's way of life which is not indissolubly bound up with superstition and error, and so long as they harmonize with its true and authentic spirit. And these things incorporated in the Mayan rite of Mass are not appropriate and therefore do not follow the instructions of the Second Vatican Council. True, Sacrosanctum Concilium does say that, but those instructions are vague, nonspecific, and open to interpretation. And guess what? Sacrosanctum Concilium does not say that you and I get to decide what is and is not appropriate. Our interpretation is irrelevant. The document repeatedly says that the competent territorial ecclesiastical authority mentioned in Article 22.2, gets to decide. In other words, the various councils of bishops established for the area with papal approval. So when these bishops' councils, the Synod on Synodality, and or the Pope say it is this, guess what? They are following Vatican II to a T. When we say, hey, that's not appropriate, that's pagan worship or that's syncretism, but the territorial ecclesiastical authority mentioned in Article 22.2 says, no, it's not, and this is how it's going to be, the council itself says that we are wrong and they are right. Some will say, well, it wouldn't happen if we had the right people in the hierarchy, or, well, it's our job to make it known to the bishops that what they are doing is wrong and demand that they correct it. Is that what we are supposed to do? Perpetually fight the hierarchy to make sure they don't go into error? That's not how Catholicism works. Christ established a hierarchy, not a democracy. It's top down, not bottom up. It's their job to preserve the faith, not ours so much. But they are men who are susceptible to the temptations of the devil. The Second Vatican Council, with its vague and open to interpretation nature, leaves the door open for these things to happen, and that's part of the problem. That's part of why the Second Vatican Council is at fault. The Apostle Paul said in Ephesians 4:27, give not the devil a foothold. All he needs is a crack to slip in. Pope Paul VI famously lamented, through some crack the smoke of Satan has entered the Church of God. Well, that crack was the Second Vatican Council. Now, I know there are hopes that these culturally integrated rites of Mass will stop the bleeding in these areas and make the Catholic Church more relevant again, but here's the thing. The Mass that converted Mexico and the entire continent of South America was the Latin Mass. The Mass that converted all of Europe was the Latin Mass. It wasn't until the Catholic Church abandoned the Latin Mass in an effort to be culturally relevant that people started leaving the Catholic Church. And I don't think that's a coincidence. People don't want the Catholic Church to try to be relevant. That's cringy. That's like your dad saying the latest pop culture phrase in front of your friends. Nobody wants that. And nobody wants the Catholic Church to be hip and with it. They want the Catholic Church to be above all that, like it was meant to be. But these days, the Catholic Church is willing to try anything to bring people in, except the one thing that will work. Being authentically Catholic, which means the true Mass, the Latin Mass. Nobody, and I mean nobody, can pull off being authentically Catholic like the Catholic Church. If they were to do that, people would flock to it like they did in the past. Until my next video, God bless.